Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Crick Blog podcast. Charbel here from Crick Blog, Australia fan, along with my co-host Nash, India fan. Australia finally back in action after what seems like ages since the T20 World Cup. And we'll talk about the test cricket that's been going on, especially a little debate about what I've been seeing on social media around the best test batsman of this generation. So we'll talk about that to start off with. But Nash, how's things?
Yeah, things are good. Things are good. Like you said, a lot of cricket is on. Australia back on in Scotland. Won the first T20 pretty comfortably. And yes, men's EPL has started. There's the T20 That's blast true. Going on in England. And test
Yes,
match
lots
is
going
always
on.
is on between England and Sri Lanka as well. So that's really good.
Yes, and historic week this week, Bangladesh winning in Pakistan,
Yes.
sweeping them. So we'll talk about that. Pakistan's troubles we've touched on in recent weeks, but it just gets worse and worse for them and amazing for Bangladesh. I will touch on what went right for them, what went wrong for Pakistan. But the first thing I wanted to talk about today is England, Sri Lanka. Third test starts tonight. Joe Root in great form, amazing. But there's been a bit of a debate. Is he the best batsman of this generation in test cricket? And I think I look at that and I go, recency bias gets to people sometimes, doesn't it? And
big one, big one.
It's a bit of a disrespect. It's a bit of a disrespect to my man Steve Smith.
To a lot of batsmen, to be honest. And I've been reading all these tweets and posts and stats. And the one thing to note is when people talk, don't get me wrong, Joe Root, Fab Four, Virat Kohli, everyone is a great batter. And I'm not the one who's in any sort of any bias as such, because obviously there's some bias towards Virat Kohli because I'm Indian, but when it comes to actually watching cricket, I give credit where credit is due. And Joe Root, the 2021 India tour, brilliant, fantastic batting. And the thing is, there's this, when people talk about Joe Root today, there's this caveat or there's these filters that are put on since 2020, since 2021, since 2022. There's always those filters.
Yeah.
And
the numbers are brilliant
funny thing,
since 2020.
Numbers are brilliant.
Are
brilliant.
I agree with you.
That's the thing. That's the thing. To say that a batter is the best of this generation, you can't only count the last 3 years.
Exactly right. Spot on. You got to look at it once.
The funny thing is, when Virat Kohli's lean patch was on, the filters were put on Virat Kohli to showcase his the criticism. Since 2020, Virat Kohli has had a poor form. But in that poor form as well, he averaged like 40s and you know, late 40s or even mid 40s in all formats. And that's the thing. Like, even when you're not scoring hundreds, what do you bring to the team matters. And all four batters bring a lot to the team. And to be honest, from my perspective as a cricket fan, as a genuine cricket fan, growing up watching Tendulkar, Dravid, Lakshman, Ricky Ponting, Steve Waugh, Matthew Hayden, so many great batters, so many great players, I think there will be a time when none of the four are actually playing, and we will see edits and videos of them from their time.
Yes.
Like how we see now for Hayden and Gilchrist.
Definitely.
So just enjoy the live game, enjoy the live matches, and just make sure you don't get sucked in too much into that fan wars, as they call it.
Yeah, that's true. And I do maybe get sucked into that a little bit, but I've been providing some of my thoughts on social media when those questions have been arising. And you're right. I mean, the thing is, I think Joe Root, to his credit, even when he was maybe considered fourth on the list of the Fab Four, it's definitely not the case now, in my opinion. He's definitely up there. But when, you know, he was struggling to convert, but he was always scoring 50s. You know, he was scoring a lot of 50s, but wasn't able to convert before 2020. And since then, the conversion rate's been amazing. But you're right. I wouldn't look at it just from a few years. When you want to judge who's been the best batsman of this generation, you've got to look at their whole career, what they've done overseas as well, what they've done in big series. There was one tweet I saw, and I did reply to it, and I disagreed with it respectfully. That's the way I roll. It was a tweet about Joe Root is one test 100 away in Australia from leapfrogging Smith. And I thought, no, I think he's got to do more than just 100 here. He's got to do what Steve Smith's done in England and own an Ashes series and dominate an Ashes series away from home. Joe Root has not
Absolutely.
done that here. He's not 100 is not going to change that. He's got to dominate.
Absolutely. And people say, I'll speak about Virat Kohli as an Indian fan, because when people were in back in 2014, when people were all mocking Virat Kohli for his England performance, he went to Australia, owned the Australian bowlers, put in the performance, went back to England in 2018, scored a few hundreds, scored a lot of runs, went back to Australia and scored the runs again. So that's the true mark of a great batsman.
Course.
Joe Root hasn't been able to do that in Australia on so many tours so far, and
Yes.
he doesn't have a lot of he has what 950s in Australia
Plenty
and
of
averages
50s here.
35.
He has been scoring 50s here, but again, that doesn't influence the result. Steve
The only
Smith
thing
goes to
is,
England. Steve Smith goes to England and influences the result. That's the difference.
exactly.
Root scored 50s and averaging 35. It's going to take more than just one century here in Australia to change that. You've got to come here and influence the game. That's what we're talking about here. We're not just talking about sheer numbers. The sheer numbers, yes, they're great for Joe Root. And yes, they're
You know
great for
what?
Steve Smith, but
You
it's
know what?
about the
If it
context of
was,
those performances.
I truly believe, and I say this with, I hope it's not an insult, maybe it will sound as an insult, but I truly believe that the calls for Joe Root as the greatest batter of this generation is only because he's English. We've seen this. Hear me out, hear me out.
Maybe. It's
We've
more
seen this
recency
across,
bias, I'd say. It's more recency bias.
but that's the thing. That's the thing. Where were these calls when Steve Smith or Virat Kohli were scoring heaps of runs back in 2016, 17, 18, 19?
I
They
used to,
no,
to be fair, I used to hear that quite a bit about Smith.
but the thing
Maybe more
is,
so now, perhaps.
but the thing is, if you look at these, if you look at the stats of these Fab Four players, every single one of them has some, some place where they would love to score more runs, some place they where they think they have left a lot of runs on the field. Because if you look at, let's start from Kane Williamson. If you look at Kane Williamson, he's poor in Sri Lanka, he's poor in South Africa, averages in 20s. He's poor in England, he averages
Poor in
30.
England, not great in Australia,
Poor in
not
India as well, averages
against Australia home and
33.
away. So that's why the chink in the armor of Williamson, his numbers on the surface look great, but when you dive into it deep and you're looking at who's the
Exactly.
best,
Yep.
there's a
And
bit more digging to do.
like now coming to Joe Root, like we said, Australia, he is a poor record in Australia. Even in Pakistan, in 5 innings, he's a poor record. So that's even in Bangladesh, he has a poor record, but that's only in 4 innings. So, it's now, if you look at Virat Kohli, he's averaging 50, 60 all throughout. But in England and New Zealand, he averages in mid 30s. So
And
that's where
that's
he's
used against
lacking.
him,
And
right? Yeah.
sorry, yeah,
That's used. Yeah.
exactly my point. That's used against him because, and as an Indian fan, it sticks out because these caveats are put on Asian batsmen more than Australian or English batter. Because you never hear, well, there are some people who do point it out, but you never hear a lot when it comes to Joe Root that, oh, he's the greatest batter, but he struggles in Australia. You never hear that. Kane Williamson, he's poor in subcontinental conditions. He's absolutely poor, as he's poor in South Africa. Average is 20. And if you speak about Steve Smith, if you talk about Steve Smith, he has a great record, but in Pakistan, sorry, in Bangladesh, he's late 20s. And
Bangladesh averaged 29 and he played two games in 2017. Other than
exactly.
that,
In South Africa, he early 40s, which is still
56 in
good.
England. Sorry, 56 against England. 55 in England, 50 in India, 52 in New Zealand, 56 in Pakistan, 41 South Africa, 49.75 in Sri Lanka, 141 in the West Indies, and 43 in the UAE. Now, you're averaging over 40 everywhere except Bangladesh, where you've played two games. And one of those games in that series was on a rank turner. So he's performed everywhere, and not only that, he's influenced games
And
with the bat.
the thing is, when these England batters score lots of runs in England, and you can see the bias when it's English commentators, that when Indian batters score, when Yashasvi Jaiswal was scoring runs in India, everyone was like, oh, it's such a great batter, but let's see how he does in Australia and England. No, No, that's not the case. That's not the case with Harry Brook. That's not the case with Ollie Pope. Or
Oh
that's
yeah, I
not the
mean the
case with
Harry
Ben
Brook
Beckett. I
Kate
mean,
Kevin Peterson comparisons, and it's way too early for those comparisons. Brook has not done enough in Test
exactly.
cricket away from home, especially.
Kevin Peterson in his first test took on Shane Warne and Glenn McGrath
That's right.
in an Ashes test,
And he took
and
him head on.
that's a big thing. Exactly. And that's the difference. That's the difference when I talk about English pundits and English commentators or English fans as opposed to any other country. We have seen this in football, we have seen this in F1, especially with now with Lando Norris and Lewis Hamilton and all these young, sorry, not Lewis Hamilton, but Lando Norris, this young F1 driver. Suddenly he's the best because he's won two races in 6 years. But and that's the thing. That's the thing. What I'm getting at is when it's an English player, the filters and the caveats are changed as opposed to any
It's
other country.
interesting. Interesting, yeah. The agendas and spotlight's a bit different, and the metrics used to judge the players a bit different. I do agree with you on that. Don't get me wrong, Joe Root is an outstanding player, but you're talking about when you talk about the best player of this generation at this stage, it's Steve Smith. It's Steve Smith without a doubt. He's had a bit of a tough time, Smith, over the last year or two, but you got to look at it over the whole career. You look at what's been done. Steve Smith, as I
And
said, has gone to England under huge pressure and owned the game. They were booing him at the start of the 2019 Ashes. By the end of it, they're on their feet applauding him, right, for what he's achieved. And yeah, we don't want to disrespect Smith. I think he's the best player of this generation. We'll see where it's at in a few years. If Joe Root can come here in the next Ashes and then after that India series and have two big series against those two teams and own the Ashes here in Australia. And do what sort of like Pujara has done, for example, and just churn off 100 after 100 after 100 and lead England to, a very strong series result. We'll rediscuss then. But at this
absolutely.
stage, it's a bit, it's Steve Smith is clear.
And look, in the end, man, just watch the four cricketers be at their best. I mean,
That's true.
that's me as a cricket fan. I love just I'm not one for arguments or debates just because it's fun, but
I agree with
just
you.
watch them. It's like Ronaldo and Messi in football. Their time is almost done. Like they're not at the peak. They're not at their best. And when we watched them playing for Barca and Real, those were the best matches that you could imagine.
Yeah,
Now
definitely.
we don't get that back. So now we can't
That's
get that
exactly
back. We
right.
can't
Yeah,
watch it live. And
true. True, you're right. And I agree with you. I'm the first to praise Joe Root when he plays well. He's a great player. Fantastic to watch. But yeah, I just like
he's
to
as an Indian fan
put the opinion
and as
forward.
an Australian fan, he's that one. There's always that one annoying, irritating player from the opposition, and he's one of them. And that's a I say that as a compliment. When I was growing up, it was Ricky Ponting, it was Matthew Hayden, it was Brian Lara, because they just wouldn't get out. It was Chanderpaul, just they just wouldn't
Yes,
get out.
exactly. And Root
And he's that's
hasn't
it.
been that player in Australia yet, though. So yeah, that's the
Exactly.
point. So and England's and Smith's been that sort of player all around the world. So we look forward to the next 18 months and what they have to offer there. But yeah, interesting little topic. And just quickly before I go on to the next topic, it's not as if I say, oh, Joe Root's playing really well, but Steve Smith's still clear. I'm not saying it unprovoked. It's when I see the tweets on social media talking about Root as the best, and I say, no, look, you got to look at it this way. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Big summer coming up for Smith as well. Hopefully, he does well against India. We'll be sure
Big
to discuss
big
that.
big home season for Virat Kohli as well. I mean, I'm
100%.
hoping he has a massive, massive season
100%.
like he did in the white ball season in the last couple of years with big World
Definitely.
Cup, big T20 World Cup, and I'm hoping for a big home season, test home season as well.
100%. And speaking of that test home season that's starting soon, Bangladesh are coming, and they're coming off an incredible 2-0 win over Pakistan. And I can't remember a series win like this where you concede 450 just about in the first game, come back and win that. And then you're six down for 26 in the next game.
That
And come
was
back and
so
win that one as
funny.
well.
That
I
was so funny. I mean,
couldn't believe
that was
it.
just class. You know what? At the end, when Bangladesh needed what they needed in the second innings, I was like, how do you bet on these games? Because
The
A, one side it's Pakistan, who are one of the most unpredictable teams in cricket. On the other side is Bangladesh, who are one of the most unpredictable teams in world cricket. How do you predict that?
When they came back and only trailed by 12, I've never been so confident in everything in my life. I knew they'd go on and win. I don't know what this confidence was. It's just Pakistan are just struggling. And when you have them 6 down for 26 and then you only lead by 12 in the end, they just can't finish off the job. Just amazing, really. What I was impressed with the most is the fast bowling of Bangladesh, how much that's come of age, and Nahid Rana in particular, he's sharp. He also got a lot more consistency in their fast bowling and wicket taking ability there. And if you know the pitchers have got a bit of juice in them in India or a bit of spin, whatever it is, they've got some bowlers that can cause some problems. The challenges are going to be a lot different with India, I will say.
Absolutely. I mean, they play in Chennai and Kanpur, which has,
Channel
can
spin.
help, the spinners, and it's going to be really interesting because obviously the game starts at 9:30, which is early in the morning, so you could see some swing as well. And I'm really hoping India has a great five home tests before going to Australia, and everyone is
Yes.
in super form.
Big sort of series for Shubman Gill. He's come out and spoken about, he wants to own the scene more in Test cricket, big series, as you said, for Kohli. I look forward to this. If Bangladesh can really make a good name of themselves and make a good fist of things against India, that'd be really good for their cricket. Because I said last week on the podcast that the challenge for Bangladesh is putting two games together in Test cricket. They can win one game and then get hammered in the next one. So what was the most impressive thing about this win was they won the first test and came back and won the second from a very difficult position. They're going to
I
have
mean,
to dip.
they were getting hammered, like you said,
They
in the
were,
second one.
but then they
They
came
were
back.
getting
I
hammered.
thought when I saw, I was watching a 6 for 20. I said, yeah, this is the same old. When it comes, they win one game, they're going to get belted in the next. And Mehdi Miraz, I sort of earmarked him as the sort of Shakib replacement a couple of years ago, the kind of player who can be that all-rounder for them. He's really stepping up now with bat and ball. Litton Das, when he puts his mind to it, he's got a lot of class when he puts his down and focuses. The challenge is going to be, you got what, five left-handers in the top six. You're going to have to deal with Ashwin. That's a whole different beast, our Ashwin. So
In
at
Chennai.
Chennai, it doesn't get much harder than that. And India, what, they haven't undefeated in 17 straight home series wins, I think I
That
read,
is,
since 2013. So.
you could say that playing Ashwin in Chennai with so many left-handers in your side is like the final boss in a video game.
Yeah,
Like
it is.
that's the final boss.
Oh man, I don't know if they've got to bring in another right-hander somewhere to do, but then you got Jadeja at the other end, I guess. So
Oh.
good luck with
And
that.
Akshar Patel,
And Akshar Patel there as well. So there's no hiding. So Bangladesh are gonna, look, they'll come in with confidence, and just stay in the fight and see what happens, really. It'd be good.
I mean,
Look forward to it.
we haven't even spoken about Bumrah and Shami, so yeah,
Bumrah,
let's not go
Shami,
there.
there's Siraj there as well. So that's what I'm talking about. It's the biggest test. And for Pakistan, talking about when you see tweets from fans, a year ago, 2 years ago, you had Pakistan and those in the Pakistani fraternity talking up their pace bowling stocks. It's better than India's, better, up there with the best in the world. Now it's what's happened to our fast bowlers. They lack total impact for the most part against Bangladesh. And
I
now they've
thought
got
that like
England next.
I thought like the 30th best Pakistani fast bowler could feature in India's
That has come back to bite.
first team. It
That's
was
what I'm
just
talking
yeah.
about, these calls. And now it doesn't look very good, does it? And oh, they
It's
haven't won a
pathetic.
test at home for what, 3 years? I don't know if the series against England is going to be moved to the UAE. That might be better for Pakistan. Move away from home. It's
Maybe
so bad.
that'll do them some good, but yeah.
Oh, and you know what? When we talk about Fab Four, a player that was on the brink of it for a few years there, but not quite breaking in, was Babar Azam. Man,
Let's not go there.
I mean,
Let's not go there.
when we talk about you need a player to own a moment and lead the way when your team needs it, he has not been able to do it for quite some time now.
I would pick a lot lot of other batters before I pick him. So yeah.
Yeah, and it's and
He's
I
not
tweeted
even in
about
the
it.
fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth spot at the moment.
Yeah, and I tweeted about it the other day. It's like he's getting out the same way over the last 18 months, 24 months. That's the big concern. It's the same sort of dismissals. It's the front foot just going a quarter or a half stride forward, front foot pointing down the wicket. The bat's angled away from the body. He's either nicking off or getting bowled. You gotta be able to fix that, because if you're that susceptible to the moving ball, you're gonna struggle. And Bangladesh exposed that, as have other teams lately. They need to get Babar Azam back firing. Yeah, because he's too good a player to go, what is it? However long since a Test 50, even. It's
Yeah.
been way too long, way too long. And yeah, they really need to have a look at themselves, Pakistan, get some stability in
Absolutely.
there, because they keep changing things all the time. We spoke about it last week. Five chairmen since 2022, December of 2022. Five chairmen. A lot of coaches have come and gone as well. What's the point? Get someone in, let someone put in their ideas, like Jason Gillespie, for example. Let him do his thing. Reward domestic players, bring some domestic players through the system, and start building up again, because it's been really bad for Pakistan, especially the last 12 months. Really bad. So on to Australia. My team finally back in action, with the first T20 against Scotland, another one today.
And finally playing outside of Australia for
Finally playing
once.
outside Australia, people say, very funny. But it's
Yeah,
good to see some young talent. Good to see some young talent, and some players who are not typically first teamers getting back, having a game, getting some game time. Jake Fraser-McGurk, I know he got a duck, but he's in the team. And you got your Riley Meredith has been playing, and these guys, and that's been good. And I want more of that. And hopefully Cooper Connolly makes his debut today.
yep.
That's what I'm hoping for. We need to blood these youngsters in, give him a chance. But Travis Head, is he up there? Is he the most destructive T20 player in the world?
Oh, come on.
No?
Nah. There's plenty. I
There's
mean,
plenty.
yeah,
I agree. There's heaps.
there's David Miller, there's Henrik Claassen, there's
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're
I
right.
mean, there's Shubman Yashasvi Jaiswal. He hasn't even played that much. There's Rinku Singh. There's so many
Just
other
Travis
batters
Head's
at the
numbers
moment.
this year, though. Just they're crazy. Like, he's breaking power play records in the IPL and now in international cricket, and he's up there. But I agree with you. There's a lot of others there as well. But man, he's going well. He's going well. But I'd like to see
He
Jake
is. He is.
Fraser-McGurk
He's
and
a.
Connolly and
Yep.
these guys do well as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be really interesting to see how Australian selectors and management approach this domestic white ball competitions this year, because there's a lot of talent coming up with Big
Yes,
Bash and the
there
One
is.
Day Marsh and the Marsh Cup. So with the Champions Trophy down the line next year, early next year, it'll be really interesting to see where the focus is, where the gaps are, and how Australia are trying to fill
Yeah.
those gaps.
I wonder if there'll be many changes to that ODI setup. They are the ODI world champions, and they've got that series
Yep.
against Pakistan coming. I don't know if there'll be too many changes. I reckon where they might look at is a bit of a refresh is in T20s. So ahead of the 2026 World Cup, I reckon you won't get too different a team from the last World Cup in ODIs. You might get a pretty similar feel for the Champions Trophy, bit a similar team. But yeah, I agree with you though. Big summer for a lot of players across formats to put their hand up, because it's an aging team, this Australia team. There's going to be
Yep.
some spots up for grabs in the next few years. So you want players to
Definitely.
put their
Yeah,
hands up.
definitely. I mean, Stark's 35. Cummins is, I think, 31, 32.
Hazelwood around the
You know,
same age, and
Hazelwood's around the same. Steve Smith, 35, 36 now. So,
Khawaja 37 or thereabouts, that sort of
absolutely.
thing. So yeah, absolutely.
Especially with Will Pukowski no longer in the picture, there's that opening slot up for grabs.
Yes.
I would say both opening slots, because if Steve Smith doesn't stay there for long, you don't. You, there's no David Warner, and with Usman Khawaja almost at the end of his career, there's both opening spots up for grabs.
100%. These are the things that we speak about it on our podcast, but this is the stuff the Australian management and the selectors have to be speaking about it at the table as well. They've got to be thinking about what's the succession plan after these plays, because you don't want too much or too difficult a transition period. So big summer for the likes of Nathan McSweeney, these sort of guys in Sheffield Shield cricket as well to put their hand up, because there's some good players there, but they've got to put the numbers on the board. And when they come into
Absolutely.
that Australian team, yeah, fully agree. And big summer for Jai Richardson as well. I think he was playing up in Darwin recently, got through that
Yes.
okay. Fingers crossed he has a big
Big summer
season.
for Bancroft. If he can keep the momentum
Bancroft,
going from the last 2 years, he can be that opener.
hopefully he's continued to be driven and not, disappointed with, not being selected as yet, because yeah, he's been churning out the runs and yeah, hopefully he's rewarded in the future, because yeah, you're right, there could be two opening spots that are available in the next few months and the next year. Yeah, with Khawaja nearing the end and Smith maybe possibly going to be pushed back to four, who knows? So big few months for Australia, massive domestic season for Australian cricket.
Absolutely.
Our last topic for the day, we'll touch on this very quickly, is that Brendan McCullum has been named the coach. Is it across all three formats, or is it just ODI and
Yes,
Test across all three formats?
he takes over the
Big
entire setup
job.
now. So
Yep.
yeah, massive job. Their white ball structure, their white ball teams haven't done
No.
that good lately. The 50-over World Cup was a shambles. So was the 20 T20 World Cup. And
They had to rely on
it's a big job.
Australia in the end for that.
Yeah, and if he could, to his credit, if he could bring the things that he brought into the test format into the white ball format,
Yep.
I mean that could do a lot of good for the players, for the team. But it'll be interesting to see what kind of selection they go with, because in test, as we've seen, there's this new left arm bowler getting a call up with before a lot of other deserving players. And at the
Yeah.
moment, the selection policy seems to be, oh, okay, you have two legs, two hands, you can bowl. Okay, let's go.
He averages
So,
62 with the ball in
yep.
10 first class games. So
And
they're
the
looking
thing
at
is,
him, they're
with
looking at him
England,
beyond his numbers and seeing he's tall, he's got pace in his left arm.
the funny thing is, and I'm 100% sure this will happen. I can write it down and sign it for you. Hull might end up taking 5-wicket haul against Sri Lanka in the third test, and people will be saying, "Oh, we never doubted anyone. Oh, the McCullum, the greatest coach."
Yeah.
And that's the thing when I say about English arrogance
Yes.
and the media
They
and the
like to go
journalists
overboard.
and
You're right.
everyone. Yeah.
They do like to go overboard. And you're right. If Josh Hull does have a good game, yeah, you're going to see it all. But look, they've taken a chance. What does that mean for performers in the county championship? You put your hand up and you're performing there and you get overlooked. I don't know. Yeah, I'd like to see domestic players get rewarded more in international cricket. I don't think we're seeing that enough for different countries, including Australia. Bancroft not getting picked for an ex as an example. You see it in England. You see it even in Pakistan. Pakistan are not picking domestic performers. They're picking guys that, might have done well in
I
a
mean,
different format.
it looks like the number of times we have mentioned Bancroft in the last 2 years on this podcast is more than what selectors might have mentioned him at the selection table.
100%. Yeah,
Every time
definitely.
his name comes up and we are baffled at how is he not getting picked. So hopefully
Yeah.
this time.
Yeah, that's the thing for me, is like you want to see domestic players get rewarded, and a guy, he might have he, I've seen a bit of him on social media, and he's got a bit of pace and he can swing the ball. He's got a little bit about him, but he's averaging 62 after 10 games. And there's other guys who've got much better numbers than that, of course, and they're not getting a look in, but they're looking at someone with a bit of height and a bit of pace and with an eye to Australia next year, but you've got to get a lot of bowling in the legs to be able to succeed at Test cricket. It's not just doing well in T20 cricket or 50 over cricket. You need a lot of bowling in red ball cricket to condition your body. He hasn't had a lot of that. So if you want him in Australia next year, he's going to have to do a lot of bowling, because if you're going to come here and bowl in the heat on hard pitches here in Australia, you're going to need a lot more red ball cricket in you. So that's the thing for England to consider as well, in addition to his attributes, is are you conditioning his body properly for the rigors of Test cricket, particularly here down
Absolutely.
under? So we'll see what happens there. Thanks, Nash. Thanks to all the viewers and the listeners.
Thank
You can
you.
catch us on at CricBlogPod on X and Instagram, where we post a host of reels from this episode. Our full episode is on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your audio podcasts, and as well on YouTube. So
YouTube,
subscribe to
yeah.
CricBlog TV for that. Thanks, Nash. Thanks, everyone, and enjoy your
Thank
weekend.
you.